Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're live, another week of the Hoosier Report right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us. We are almost there to the official start of college basketball. IU had a closed exhibition game yesterday at Bankers Life. Indiana football took a terrible loss on the road Friday. Just so disappointing to watch that unfold Friday night. And, of course, high school football continued. We're down to one team locally. That's all that's left out of eight football-playing schools here in Clark and Floyd County. Providence, it's on them to try to be the local team once again this season to win a sectional championship. They will have to do so Friday night playing an undefeated Paoli team. Should be a tremendous game. Also, right out of the gate, let's give a shout-out to Christian Academy of Indiana volleyball team. We had three local teams, which was amazing, in Semistate play on Saturday. One game Semistate's. Providence lost to a very good Avon team. Silver Creek was defeated as well. But in Class 2A, Christian Academy again will go to play for a state championship. They've been on quite a tear. They've had some success at the state level. They've had a lot of success getting to the state championship game. And we'll see if Christian Academy can bring back a volleyball championship later this week. More on that later in the week, but congratulations to him. Plenty to get to. Again, basketball season is just about here. The start of exhibition games coming very soon. Not a lot of insight to Indiana's closed scrimmage yesterday. I was really curious to see what we might learn about that game. I've heard a couple underhand reports from people that new coaches or new people at the game that had some general information that does sound really good about Indiana, but nothing factual to report or really to move forward with, other than it has been reported in a couple different instances that Indiana did win the scrimmage, including one report that said Indiana won the scrimmage handily. Everybody wants to know, how did Romeo play? How many points did he have? What was his line score? We don't know that. I haven't, to this hour at least, seen a box score from the closed scrimmage yesterday against Loyola. Frankie Vision, a lot of you guys are familiar with him. If you went to New Albany games last year, he kind of took on the role of Romeo's photographer, videographer, shooting video. A lot of great highlights came from him over the last few seasons. He tweeted out at one point that Romeo had 19 points and 10 rebounds in the scrimmage against Loyola yesterday. Now, that tweet has since been deleted. I don't know where he got that information from. But if that's the case, Romeo basically a double-double against a team like Loyola that went to the Final Four last year. That's even more reason to be excited about him making his official debut. As far as the fans go, coming up very soon, just a couple days from now, when Indiana takes on University of Southern Indiana in an exhibition game. So we may not ever find out all the details about the Loyola game. We might not find out anything for sure other than what I've just said. But interesting stuff. Some interesting things said about Indiana's performance yesterday, all in a positive light. We'll see if that proves true when they take the court here later this week. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on this Monday show, we've got our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. In this segment, we'll take a look at some IU stuff. We'll talk IU football. Gosh, that's a tough topic this week after Indiana loses almost a must-win game for bowl eligibility. I have very, very little hope that Indiana will be a bowl-eligible team now. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some ticket news, which I love this, regarding the student section at Indiana. We'll also talk some recruiting. Caleb First from up in Fort Wayne, a young player in the state, and Christian Lander continuing to land scholarship offers from down at Evansville Rights. We'll talk all of those things and more coming up in our headlines. Later in the program, we'll be joined by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll have a long conversation about IU football. We'll recap the Friday night game. I didn't like the Friday night feel. I said that about 10 times last week on the show from the get-go, and I don't think anybody liked Indiana's performance out of the gate at Minnesota either. It just was not a good night all the way around. We were in studio doing high school football on 680 Friday because of the IU game here on 1450. So I had it on in the background trying to follow things as the night unfolded, and it just Indiana never really got it going against the team that they should have gotten it going against, at least in my opinion. So we'll talk about that with Zach. We'll talk about the closed scrimmage yesterday with Zach. We'll see what he knows, if he's learned anything about Indiana's performance, which we're told was a win yesterday against Loyola Chicago. We'll also preview the IU-USI Southern Indiana game coming up later this week, and a lot more with Zach when he joins us today in segment number two. Later in the program, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and IHSAA executive board member, he'll join me to talk Southern Indiana sports headlines like Providence to the sectional championship game. And I'd be lying if I didn't say this. High school football has a long way to go in this area. And also, I often feel like sometimes it gets forgotten by fans. It maybe doesn't get the coverage that basketball deserves or that basketball does. And I guess that's rightfully so. But we have 8 football playing schools in Clark and Floyd County, and just one of those schools gets to the sectional championship game. We got to do better than that. We got to get more schools to sectional finals at least. You'd like to see a couple schools at least every year, especially when you factor in the size of some of the schools, the athletic history and background of some of the schools to get to those final games or maybe win sectionals every year. But nonetheless, Providence, the only team left. We'll talk with Chad about that. We'll talk high school basketball. Girls basketball gets started this week. I think there's some pretty good games coming up later in the week. Jeffersonville girls take on North Harrison girls. That should be a good early season matchup. And again, we're just weeks away from the start of the boys basketball season as well. And college basketball essentially begins later this week with exhibition games. There'll be a lot of games televised later this week, some exhibitions. Then, of course, next week, non-conference games begin. And you know how it goes in college hoops nowadays. Right out of the gate, there's some huge non-conference games to kind of spark the start of the 18-19 season. So we are almost there to the sweet spot of basketball here in Southern Indiana. That's a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. IU football, 4 wins, 5 losses on the season. They lose 38-31 Friday night at Minnesota in a lackluster performance, I thought, right out of the gate. Now, let's look ahead because we're going to recap this game in the next segment with Zach Osterman, but Indiana off this week, which means no media availability from coaches or players early in the week. It also means that Indiana will have some time to rest and heal maybe some small injuries. Then they come back on November 10th and host Maryland. That's a game that they have to win. They should win, although I felt the same way against Minnesota. The result was a 7-point loss. Then they go November 17th to Michigan. That's going to be a really tough game. And then they come back to take on Purdue, who, after their huge win against Ohio State in a big way a couple weeks ago, they lost over the weekend, which, you know, you wonder what Purdue team is going to show up in Bloomington November 24th to end the regular college football season. Indiana at 4 wins. If they can get Maryland, that's 5. Michigan's going to be tough. I do think Purdue will be tough as well, but there is a chance. There is still an opening for 6 wins, and a decent opening for 6 wins. But had you gotten Minnesota, had you gotten Maryland coming up after a rested bye week off, then you can go to Michigan and play, and you don't want to not try to win, but you don't have to worry about it as much. It's just common sense for a coach or player. Then you come back in a rivalry game like Purdue where you never know what can happen. Purdue's played like a lot like IU, really good at times, not so good at times. You don't know what Purdue team you're going to get, and maybe that makes a little more comforting knowing you're at least at that 6-win margin. But I think Indiana in a real threat of not becoming bowl eligible, at least not getting to the six wins this season. We'll talk about that some more with Zach coming up in the next segment. Also, a press release out this morning from IU, and I really like this. IU is setting aside a section of 200 court-level bleacher seats behind the South Goal at Assembly Hall for basketball games that will be available only to students for general admission, student ticket holders for every game. So they've kind of revamping the student section a little bit, obviously getting those students in a good position, but definitely like that. We've talked some about the issues in recent years. I'm not sure that we'll see that issue this year with students not showing up for games. And, of course, over Christmas break, holiday break, you understand that there's going to be kids go home and spend time with families. And that is an extended break in college. It's not your 1 or 2 week break like it is for high school students. But nonetheless, got to be a better student section at Indiana, especially when there are so many people, fans, that would like to go to those games and use those seats if students aren't going to fill them. So Indiana taking some aggressive work there to maybe try and help that situation to some degree. Also, a couple recruiting notes from over the weekend. Caleb First, young player up at Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian, with the high school basketball season getting ready to go, he's a player to watch in Indiana, a young player from that class. He got an offer from Coach Miller and the coaching staff during an unofficial visit to Bloomington over the weekend. So there had been a lot of interest there. I don't think there's any surprise, but Indiana extends a scholarship offer to Caleb First of Fort Wayne. Also this weekend, Christian Lander of Evansville writes, absolutely blowing up. He got an offer from Kansas over the weekend. He now has offers from Indiana, Illinois, Purdue, Iowa, Ohio State, and IUPUI. Now Kansas entering. It's probably only a matter of time until some other blue blood programs get involved as well. He had a really good summer, rose a lot in the national rankings. Some people surprised a little bit about how much he did rise in those national rankings, but obviously a player locally in Southern Indiana, just to our west, to pay attention to with the upcoming high school season. Indiana's been very involved with him. Ohio State has been very involved. He's been at Louisville a number of times for a young player as just a sophomore. He's taken a lot of campus visits to schools and has used a lot of his weekends in the off season between the summer basketball and now the start of the high school season upcoming to take campus visits to Indiana a couple times. He's been to Louisville at least a couple times that I can think of, Ohio State as well. And again, he's hit some of the other schools too. So he's making the circuit for sure, getting out there early to see some of these schools that are interested in him and adding a scholarship offer from Kansas. That only reinforces his recruitment, which is absolutely on the rise. Again, it'll be real interesting to see who else, even schools from outside of the Midwestern area, who else jumps in on Christian Lander coming up here in the coming months. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll start with IU football, recap what I call a very bad loss at Minnesota on Friday night. We'll also talk a little bit about the closed scrimmage that Indiana had yesterday with Loyola Chicago. We'll talk IU's upcoming exhibition game on Thursday night against Southern Indiana and more. You don't want to miss it. Zach's always a great way to begin the week here on the Hoosier Report. Later, Chad Gilbert joins us. We'll turn our attention to some local headlines as well. A lot of fun stuff coming your way in this hour. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He's the IU insider for the Star. He's our guest Mondays here on the Hoosier Report. Zach, IU football with an opportunity Friday to get not a for sure win, but to really help their efforts in becoming bowl eligible. It was a game that was ripe for the taking after a good performance by the Hoosiers the week before that against Penn State. Indiana couldn't get it done. They lose 38-31. Bowl eligibility, I think, on the line in a big way as they enjoy a bye week this week.
Yeah, I mean, a bizarre game. I think if you're an Indiana fan, maybe just a feeling of a little bit of history repeating, not being able to sustain efforts kind of from one week to the next. You know, Indiana looked very flat, especially, I think, defensively in that game. It felt like there were some basic things Minnesota was doing, particularly some route combinations that maybe the combinations themselves weren't basic, but the fact that Minnesota just kind of kept coming back to some of the same things over and over again and turning them into big gains, turning them into touchdowns was frustrating. Indiana couldn't finish its own offensive drives. It was 21-9 at halftime. It was 31-9 in the third quarter. Then Indiana, you know, puts together this kind of wild comeback that's built on turnovers and an ability by Peyton Ramsey to open things up a little bit more in the passing game, you know, from a deep ball perspective. And then, you know, Indiana actually even has the ball with about 3 minutes left and a chance to take the lead, tied at 31, goes three and out, and on the first play of Minnesota's next possession, gives up a 67-yard touchdown pass and loses the game 38-31. So I think you're right that the season is you know, basically at the brink here in terms of, you know, if success or failure hinges at least in part on bowl eligibility. You know, Indiana's got three games to get two wins. One of those is at Michigan, so you'd imagine the two at home against Maryland and Purdue are going to be of paramount importance. And it's also just a feeling that this is an Indiana team that, once again, is leaving games on the field, either by the way it starts, the way it finishes, a little bit of both, a little bit of offense, a little bit of defense, but constantly, you know, conspiring to find a way to lose the game when it seems like it's there for the winning.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. You know, when I think about the game Friday, just a few days ago, I know there's been a lot happened since then with high school stuff Friday night as well, and IU playing in a closed scrimmage, World Series, a lot of activity over the weekend. But I almost forget that Indiana had a chance to win it at the end or was back in the game because of how bad the start was. And that's got to be very frustrating for diehard Indiana football fans or football fans in Indiana that want to see the program become more consistent and take that next step. You play well against Penn State, you lose to Minnesota. Earlier in the season, they played well in a loss to Ohio State, come back and lose, not just lose, but lose in a very disappointing way to Iowa. I think I brought this up last week and you had a good comment about it, but Indiana's been terribly inconsistent this year, and I think at some point you've got to mark up that inconsistency as kind of a trait of a bad team, but of a lackluster team.
No, I mean, and I, you know, look, was a bad football team? Is that a team that doesn't make a bowl in this day and age? Is that a team that goes, you know, 1-11, 2-10? But the reality is that one of the hallmarks of teams and programs, for that matter, that struggle to consistently turn in the kinds of results that do get them to, let's say, regular bowl eligibility and you know, lots of success in a rivalry game, you know, upset wins over major programs, is consistency and is the ability to sort of operate the same way, regardless of the opponent, regardless of the situation, over and over again. You know, it's one of the simplest ways I've ever heard a coach put it, but it was actually not long ago. I was having a conversation with Steve Aird, Indiana's volleyball coach, and he was talking about his own program. He wasn't talking about football, but what he said stuck with me. He said, you know, that some of his players may get frustrated at him when he gets on them for going less than 100% in practice. But the problem is, if you don't go 100% in practice, then you expect it to show up on game day, and it doesn't, and it's because you haven't practiced it. You know, if you your body hasn't learned what 100% feels like. And I'm not saying that effort is by any means a problem for this Indiana team, because I don't think it is. But I think that when you talk about consistency, in the same way that you would talk about effort or execution or any of those sort of, you know, halfway tangible qualities that apply in basically any sport, if you don't consistently execute, if you don't consistently bring, you know, 100% focus on each play, if you don't consistently play in a way that limits turnovers, limits penalties, you know, constantly has you kind of sharp and on the edge, if you can't build that week to week, then there's no reason to think that it's going to show up when you need it most. And that's something Tom Allen has talked a lot about. It's clear he understands that that's kind of part of what needs to happen with this program. And I think that's sometimes explicitly and sometimes implicitly kind of gone hand in hand with all of his sort of mantras about winning and breaking through and things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, if you keep struggling with it on Saturdays, then it's fair to say it's fair to assign it as a characteristic of this program right now. And it's not new. It's something that Indiana has struggled with for a long, long time. And, you know, maybe if there's one surprising thing to me, it was that I actually felt like early in the season when we saw Indiana beat FIU on the road, an FIU team that's now bowl eligible. Then we saw Indiana beat a Virginia team that's now leading the ACC Coastal at home. Then we saw Indiana handle a Ball State team that had given what turns out to be a very good Notre Dame team all it could handle the weekend before. I actually thought we were seeing a consistent Indiana team, an Indiana team that limited mistakes, forced opponents into mistakes, played smart football, just kept things simple when it needed to, et cetera, and so forth. If anything, I think this team has regressed, or either that, or that was just a very false prolonged dawn, because that was a full quarter of the season that we're talking about. But Indiana has kind of regressed away from that here. And that's kind of the situation that the Hoosiers find themselves in now, bye week. And then basically right up against the edge of needing wins to get to bowl eligibility.
Zach, you look at the Maryland game much, I think, like you look at the Minnesota game. Yes, it's home. Minnesota was on the road. I don't know if the Friday night thing would have anything to do with just a different game setting than normal, but I wouldn't think so. But, again, it's an IU team that, whether it looks like a game on paper they should win or be competitive in or not, you really can't read that, especially with this team. That said, if Indiana cannot beat Maryland, I lose all hope for bowl eligibility for this team. But a win against Maryland puts Indiana in a position, probably not at Michigan, that would be tough on the road, but to come back home and play Purdue, who has been hot and cold recently in a major way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the math at this point, is beat Maryland, find a way to beat Maryland. Take what you can get at Michigan. You know, obviously don't just throw the towel in completely, but don't leave yourself so completely burnt out from that game that you don't have anything left for Purdue. And then go into the Purdue game where you have each of the last 4 years. If in this scenario you do beat Maryland but then lose to Michigan, go into the Purdue game 5-6 looking for bowl eligibility. I think that's a dangerous place to be. I think that from Indiana's perspective, when I have seen this team with a lot to play for at home this season, and I'm thinking about Michigan State and Iowa in particular, where the stakes were kind of obvious and the opportunity was there to say, okay, you guys, you know, have consistently played up to and lost to the Ohio States and so forth, but this is the kind of game that you would think Indiana could be really consistent or competitive in. They've looked really tight. They've not played well. I think you could probably even put Minnesota in there as well. And the reasons for that are probably going to be manifold. That you're probably talking a little bit about coaching. You're probably talking a little bit about the youth of this team. But one way or the other, when I've seen this team in games, especially at home for whatever reason, against teams that it could beat and in games where you could say, like, listen, if we get a big result today, we can change the discussion around the program. We can change the narrative around this season. We can have people talking about something different, and we can change the story. They've actually come out and frankly, I think, played some of their worst football of the season. And like I said, I'm not even totally sure the Minnesota game doesn't have a layer in that discussion somewhere. And so from Indiana's perspective, it is very much kind of put up or shut up time. On the other hand, it's also time for Indiana to prove that it can win a game like Maryland, much less Purdue, when expectations and stakes and opportunity are all very high kind of at the same time.
Zach, final football question before we flip to basketball for a moment. If Indiana does not become bowl eligible, if they do not get that sixth win this season, what do you think the effect is on this program and on this coaching staff? Is there any at this point?
Well, you know, six wins, no. I wouldn't be terribly surprised if there is some reexamining of the coaching staff in the offseason, as much just because that's a natural part of the evolution of any program, frankly. And you know, Tom Allen now has two full years with most of the staff. I know, obviously, he had to replace Noah Joseph with Casey Teagarden last year, but the bulk of this staff, and Kane Womack came in as the 10th assistant, but the bulk of this staff has been together for 2 years. I think it's fair for a head coach, if he does want to make changes, to sort of point to that as a substantial period of time where he can say, I've had time to evaluate this and this and this, and I think we need to move in, you know, this direction. I think that, you know, the big thing for me is recruiting is still going very well for Indiana. And if it's, listen, it can't be all about recruiting all the time, but the flip side to that is if you look at the teams and the programs that are consistently winning in the aggregate, look, you and I can sit here and find a Jason Spriggs who had one BCS offer and wound up being an All-American. We can sit here and find 4- and 5-star kids who went to college, flamed out, and never did anything, you know, a substantial. But in the aggregate, when you look at things like year-over-year recruiting team rankings nationally and even in conferences, and then you compare those to results, there is a direct link. There is a tangible year-over-year link between good recruiting and success on Saturdays in the fall. And from Tom Allen's perspective, look, he's not landing top 15 classes. I don't think anybody's asking him to, but recruiting is going well. You know, his class last season was ranked as high as any in the quote-unquote recruiting rankings era that Indiana's had. The one he's got together this season could very well surpass that one. We've talked recently about him flipping Samson James, a 4-star running back from Ohio State. He's got an Army All-American named Tywin Mullen from Florida committed. He's got another 4-star recruit from Indianapolis, Bo Robbins, committed. And so as long as recruiting continues to go well, in particular because you look at the team that he's got right now, it's a very, very young team, you would say that generally speaking, I think that this program's trajectory is probably still in the positive. Now, if we get through the end of this season and Indiana is not in a bowl, or frankly, even if Indiana is in a bowl, I think that Indiana needs to have some serious conversations about, for example, the direction of its offense, which for the last, you know, year plus 9 games now has struggled with consistency, has struggled in the red zone, has struggled with explosiveness. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking genuine questions about what Indiana could be and maybe should be doing differently on that side of the ball. And then the other thing, and this is more intangible, but it's what I wrote about after the game on Saturday, is a big part of changing results is changing habits. And, you know, it sounds like the smallest thing, but when a coach can teach a program how to win and make it a habit, then all of a sudden you get to a situation more like what Northwestern's got right now, where it's just coming into every season, Northwestern's players just think, we know how to get to 7 wins baseline. That's just what we do here now. And then it's a question of how far above that we can go. Indiana right now, there is absolutely still exists and has for years and years and years, a narrative around the program that Indiana will always find a way to make itself the bridesmaid, that Indiana will always find a way to lose the close game, to do what it did on Friday night, to play Ohio State tough and then lay an egg against Iowa, and then come back and come so close against Penn State. And yet, if you look at the year-over-year results, they never win the Penn State game. It almost always is given away. If recruiting gets better, then at some point maybe talent tips the scales and pushes Indiana over the edge. But there is also kind of the idea that if you're Tom Allen, you've got a young team now. You want to be building good habits into a lot of these young players. You need to break that wheel at some point and win some of these games. And that may be beyond Indiana this season, just in terms of the opportunities that they're going to have. I don't know. But at some point, Tom Allen has got to find a way to break that cycle and teach Indiana something different. If he can't, then, you know, he's probably going to fall in line with so many other Indiana coaches that have tried and failed. And I want to be clear, I'm not suggesting there's any sort of change necessary or imminent. I don't think Tom Allen's job security should be a serious topic of discussion for anyone right now. I'm just saying in the bigger picture, in the broader term, I think there are reasons to continue to be optimistic. But at some point, all the talent and all the recruiting and all the optimism and all the changes in approach, things like that, have to garner results to teach Indiana how to do it a different way.
Really good stuff, Zach, from Zach Osterman on the current state of IU football. Zach, I want to get to some basketball stuff quickly with you, but great stuff on football. IU in action yesterday. It was a closed scrimmage, so we really haven't seen any information. Some of the scrimmages that are closed or secret, as they call them, across the country, you might get a box score put out. Others, you might see a beat writer or a national writer at least get the score and a couple details from one of the coaches, possibly. I think it's been written a couple different places. I'm not sure it's even been written in anything more official than like a discussion forum, but that Indiana did win the scrimmage yesterday against Loyola of Chicago. There have been a couple rumors about who played well and some comments that were made about certain players, all in a very positive light for Indiana, but I don't know much about it enough to confirm or really report on anything today on this show. Have you heard much coming out of the scrimmage yesterday at Bankers Life?
It has been, kept kind of quiet. There's no doubt about that. I like you, I heard Indiana won handily. I think there's a score floating out something like 70-49. If I can at least sort of lean on stuff that you know, consistent sources of information, it seems like Al Durham played well, which is intriguing to me because as much as we talk about, and I've mentioned this before, Rob Finnessy and Devontae Green, I actually was really impressed with how much Al Durham appeared to have grown at Hoosier Hysteria when we got to see Indiana in the scrimmage portion of Hoosier Hysteria. I was really surprised by what kind of a step forward it looks like Durham has taken with his game from his freshman to his sophomore season. And if he did play well against Loyola, you would imagine that's just kind of further evidence of that. I also heard Romeo Langford played well. I don't think that's a galloping shock to anybody. That Justin Smith played well, I don't think that's a galloping shock to anybody. If that final score is, accurate, and I think if it's not accurate, it's probably pretty close to it. I do find it intriguing keeping an opponent like Loyola under 50 points. And it's worth pointing out these close scrimmages, sometimes they can be very game-like. Sometimes they can almost be sort of situational where they'll play like it's a game, but there'll be lots of stopping, moving things around, saying, okay, well, can we try that, out of bounds again, but let's put it on this scenario instead. Let's put this number of seconds back on the shot clock so that we can work on how we get from our out-of-bounds to our half-court offense if we need a shot in 8 seconds or 10 seconds, that sort of thing. So it's not necessarily like two teams just came together, turned on a scoreboard, let some refs onto the floor, and played. It can also be something that is structured such that guys are getting and teams are getting some situational work, live work against a live opponent as well. So when you get final scores and things like that, it's always a little bit you know, 50-50 if it was a genuine final score or if some of it was because of the way that things were formatted out. But, you know, from everything I've been able to glean, I think this is fair to say, reviews and reports were roundly positive. And now we're going to get a look at Indiana. One of the fun things about Indiana playing exhibitions is that they can nearly always bring in somebody good. It'll be Southern Indiana on Thursday night. We've seen Indiana play Bellarmine. We've seen Indiana play Marion and UIndy. You know, there's a lot of really good sort of lower division, I guess you'd say, basketball programs in this area that Indiana can bring in, such that we can see Indiana even in an exhibition setting against a tougher opponent than, frankly, probably some of the lower level non-conference games they're going to play.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us on Mondays. You kind of took my next question right there and went with it. Southern Indiana, I've talked with Chad Gilbert, who will join me next. We've talked with others on this program. A really good Division II program, very comparable over the years, maybe not in the last two or three, four seasons, but very comparable to what Bellarmine has been more recently in that conference and in Division II basketball, national champions a number of years ago, very competitive, nationally ranked, get a lot of transfers from the Division I level that come down to D2 to play immediately. And also they recruit the state of Indiana and Southern Indiana very well. So much buzz, so many people wanting to know about this closed game, this closed exhibition yesterday. I can't imagine what it's going to be like Thursday and, of course, recapping things on Friday. There is an interest with this team and with this program to get this season started that definitely is more than any other time in the existence of me doing this show, and I'm not so sure that it's maybe not at an all-time high, to be quite honest with you. In IU basketball, you got to go back a number of years to find a fan base as excited about getting 2018-19, this season, underway.
Yeah, I think it's probably at least since the number one overall year in 2012, when Indiana entered the season as the number one team in the country, and there was all that expectation of, is this team going to make it to the Final Four? Is this team going to be able to, you know, win the Big Ten for the first time? And, you know, what, 11 years, I guess it was, when they won the Big Ten that year. And I think that, you know, certainly some of that revolves around Romeo Langford, and it's inevitable that it will. I think in a broader sense, you know, and I don't know how many fans would kind of enunciate this versus sort of just see it as assumed. But I think in a broader sense, there's also the last year felt so much like year zero for Archie Miller, because there was so much roster churn with guys going to the NBA. There was such a talent drain. And Archie obviously didn't have time to really sink both hands into recruiting the class of 2018. So it's not like he could come in with a couple five stars that would just sort of snap your fingers and change the program's fortunes. And he also, there was a massive sort of philosophy shift within the program in terms of the way they were going to play defensively, to some extent even the way they were going to play offensively. And it wound up being kind of a season of growing pains, and I think a lot of people sort of wrote it off by just saying, listen, this is, you know, not that we don't care whether or not Indiana wins or loses, but this is a sort of, you know, transition season, and we're okay with that. Now you've got a team that, look, it's not perfect. It's young in some spots. It's unproven in some spots. There are still questions about point guard, about Deron Davis's health, about, you know, the sheer number of freshmen and sophomores on this roster, and so on and so forth. But this is an opportunity to maybe get a good first look at what Archie Miller can do with a team with some talent. And I'm not saying he's got to go to the Final Four to make Indiana fans happy this year. I don't think that's true. I'm guessing that a really competitive Big Ten finish and a return to the NCAA tournament are probably the baselines for this fan base right now on the whole. But this is an opportunity to see what Archie Miller as a coach can do when you do hand him some top-line talent in Langford, Juwan Morgan, potentially a guy like Justin Smith, potentially some of these freshmen that are coming in. A team that's deep, a team that is versatile in some of the spots where Archie Miller likes to be versatile in terms of the way he can both attack offensively and defensively, thinking about the wings and the wing options that he has. And so I think what probably has people excited is just the interest and the unknown in terms of saying, what is it about Archie Miller that we can learn, and his long-term sort of future as a coach? What can we learn about that this season, when this is maybe the first season where we're really allowed to have expectations of a team that he's coaching at Indiana?
Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star, IU insider for the Star. Really good stuff once again. IU football and IU basketball covered very thoroughly in this segment. Zach, we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman always with us Mondays here on the show. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. We'll talk some Southern Indiana sports headlines about high school football coming out of the weekend, and much more. Stay with us. We'll wrap up the show with Chad after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment. Chad Gilbert is with Chad is Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. Chad, we're getting so close to the official start of the basketball season, but before we talk hoops, I want to wrap up the high school football season. I shouldn't say wrap it up, because let's hope that Providence continues to win and go on to play for a regional championship after this weekend. But high school football is winding down, because of the 8 football playing schools in our immediate area, we have 1 left.
Well, it's hard to believe it's come to this point of the season, Matt, where all these teams have been practicing, you know, since last January in the weight room, getting themselves ready to go, and it's come down to this. And there are some outstanding games. We know Providence is in the finals here versus Paoli, with defending state champion Southridge waiting in a regional matchup. But there's some outstanding games this week. And, you know, you think about the Memorial Gibson Southern contest. That's going to be an outstanding 3A contest with defending champion Memorial. Columbus East and Bedford. If you remember during the season, Matt, an outstanding game up at Bedford, and Bedford's got their eyes on knocking off Columbus East. So that's one to watch. But anytime you're going against a Bob Gaddis team, you know, you can't count out Columbus East. But, you know, you see the usual suspects. You see the Reed Mays at Brownstown. You see the Mo Moriartys at Bloomington South. But the one guy who's had it going this year, 11-0, is the old Charlestown coach before Coach Hawkins returned, Darren Ward at Boonville. So happy for him going 11-0 as he plays against Evansville Central this weekend. So it's a lot of fun for those guys, and it's just this time of year where it's surviving advance.
Chad Gilbert is with me. Chad, girls high school basketball, they've been practicing now, and games for a lot of schools begin at some point this week. I think a lot of schools have already had scrimmages or will have them here in the next couple days. Later in the week, you get some pretty good games. Jeffersonville and North Harrison and girls basketball. Some other good games early in the season as well to kind of get people ready for basketball before we get the boys' side of things started. A lot of times girls' programs take advantage of that to kind of showcase themselves when they're the only show in town.
Oh, the girls' basketball season, it gets here and it gets going. It goes about 3 months, Matt, but it's intense. And like you said, great matchup right out of the chute between Jeffersonville and North Harrison. And you look at the top 10 polls, you see Jeffersonville, Bedford, North Harrison all in the top 10 in the 4A. They're all in the same sectional. You look in the 3A, there's Northwestern, who may be the best team in the state regardless of class. But along with that was Salem, Greensburg, Vincennes, Lincoln, and Memorial, all in the top 10 that are playing in our regional here that we host. So, you know, once that season gets going, Matt, it goes quick, and it comes down to how well you can advance as your skills, as your team chemistry, and how you can get ready for that January sectional, because once it gets going, it gets going. It's almost like an NBA schedule.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD and IHSA board member, my guest. Hey, you and I have talked a lot of Southern Indiana and Indiana IU, that exhibition game that'll be played later this week. Your connection, obviously, to Southern Indiana, former player there. You were there in some of their best years when they won a national championship. Still to this day are close with Bruce Pearl, former coach, who is now at Auburn. With that said, we're finally in game week. IU fans are itching to get this season going. A closed scrimmage, probably the last thing that this fan base wants to read about or hear about on Sunday. They want details. They want box scores. They want to know how Romeo did. How did they look on defense? All things that you're probably not going to get much out of in one of these secret scrimmages. But Southern Indiana, reminiscent in many ways of Bellarmine and Louisville playing yesterday. It was a very competitive game. Louisville did go on to put a little bit of space between them and Bellarmine near the end of the game, but I think it was under 10 points, the final score. Bellarmine competes with Louisville and its Division I early season opponents year in and year out. Southern Indiana is capable of doing the same thing.
First off, talk about the GLVC just a little bit. You think back in the day, you know, in the mid-90s in the Coach Pearl years, well, we had great runs year in, year out. But you can't forget about Kentucky Wesleyan being in the GLVC also and the success that they had in the national tournament. It basically went down to who won that Kentucky Wesleyan USI game, well, who was going to compete for a national championship. Then as times went along, Indianapolis has always consistently been in the hunt. But Bellarmine, you know, has really taken the forefront in the GLVC. One thing, you know, Drury hanging around there, they've got a guy from Clarksville, Bailey McEwen, who's their graduate assistant at Drury, who's hanging around right there in the top echelon of GLVC teams this year. But it's an opportunity for these Division II schools to compete on the big stage. You know, Adam Eberhardt from Memorial had a great game yesterday against Louisville. But you don't think Adam wanted to show that he's good enough to play for the University of Louisville, that he's an ACC player? This is an opportunity for those guys to kind of prove themselves, that they can be on that big stage, that they can compete at that level. So for those Division II teams to have that opportunity, I think it's really special. But you talked about Southern Indiana now going against Indiana. You know, talk about Indiana just a second, Matt. There's a lot of excitement about that. My mother-in-law, every time she comes to the house, it's not how are the kids doing, it's can you get me some IU tickets? You know, there's that much excitement going around about Assembly Hall. And the one thing about that, Matt, is you always think about these Indiana teams. You think back to the Coach Knight years. You think in 2002 whenever Mike Davis had a national runner-up team, or the Tom Crean teams from 2013, you know, they got upset by Syracuse. And even, you know, look back at the Eric Gordon teams. Those are a lot of buzz around that one. But what's the one common denominator for each one of those? They have Indiana kids in the program. I think that's what's really making this excitement go. You know, Thursday night is going to be off the chains up there. The fans are going to be nuts. And you talk about the scrimmages and everything else, you don't put a whole lot of stock in that. That's good for your team to knock the dust off, to go out there and play. But you can guarantee when the lights come on, I know one person that's going to be shining, number zero. You can guarantee he's going to bring his A game when it counts. But, you know, just real quick, I got off topic on Southern Indiana. Those guys down there, they've been through some battles. They've got the Evansville Wrights guys who all went through and were runner-up to Homestead. West side of Evansville guys that are playing with a lot of pride down there. Alex Stein, Rick Stein's son, who's the girls' coach down there, women's coach, his son has set, you know, many, many records down there. Coach Watson really gets after the teams. They play aggressive defense. They really move the ball well on offense. And they're going to come up there. They won't be intimidated. You can rest assured of that one. And so it's going to be an anxious time to get those guys to compete along with the new players that come in. One new player, Chance Coyle, my favorite player in Southern Indiana right now. It's my roommate's son. I look for him to have a good opportunity to come back home to Bloomington and show what he can do a little bit. So it's a great opportunity. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. But the excitement around Indiana, the excitement around Assembly Hall right now, Matt, is second to none.
Chad, with how you follow things, you talk a lot about Indiana players, to take your point there. You probably weren't surprised at all when we discussed last week the Indianapolis Star list that was published about all of the players from the state of Indiana that played their high school basketball here that are playing Division I college basketball. That list each and every year is just amazing. I don't think by any means we're at an all-time high of players from the state. I can't remember what that number is, but way over 100 players in Division I basketball, a lot from schools outside of Indianapolis. That's where you obviously think, well, all the population for the state is, or a great portion of it. A lot of the big schools are at. But across the state, every program, it seems, in some way, every part of the state for sure, represented with a player playing. Not, we're not talking college basketball. We're not talking USI. Division I programs, it's remarkable the number of Indiana kids that are big parts of their college basketball teams, even names that, you know, you kind of forget about, or maybe they didn't have a high school career where they were, you know, a top five, top 10 player that you heard and read about, but they've went on to find a role with their college program at the Division I level and shine. And that's what Indiana kids do.
Oh, no question, because these kids grow up wanting to be basketball players, and they all have that dream. You know, I think that's when Indiana's, the Purdue's, are at their very best, because every kid wants to wear that uniform. Now, unfortunately, there's only 12 roster spots, so kids have to go elsewhere. But that doesn't mean those kids can't play. Look at Vermont, the amount, the pipeline that they've pulled with Indiana kids going up there. You know, you think about the Duncan kids down there at Evansville, that they've had a pipeline of getting Indiana kids there. You know, you think about the different programs, not just within the state, but throughout the country that want Indiana kids, because Indiana kids, one, are fundamentally sound because there's great coaches in Indiana, Matt. Two, they play with pride. And then three, you know, they want to be basketball players. You talk about any guy basketball player that plays in college, until that last dribble is done, they feel like they're going to play in the NBA. So they're going to go out there and they're going to give it their best every single day in practice, every single game, and they're going to play with that pride, because on their sleeve, they're wearing that, they're from Indiana, and they want to look good for the rest of the players throughout the state.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member. Chad, thanks for the chat. We'll catch up with you again next week. That's going to do it for today. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back at 11 a.m. tomorrow right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Catch us on SoundCloud, Apple iTunes as well for podcast, and we'll talk with you tomorrow here on the Big X Sports Radio.